This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
My whole life, I've been doing action, action, action. And what happened in my business after about 8 years or 9 years, that only got me so far, because after a while of just taking action without enough focus, you hit a wall. And I realized the biggest issue I had in my business was we had a lack of focus from the top down, and started with the way I led.
If you love listening to podcasts like I do, you probably noticed that we're mainly hearing from people who are at the very top of the mountain. They've built multi-million or multi-billion dollar companies. They've been funded by VCs. They've exited. They're now living the dream. But what about virtually everyone else? The people who've built successful businesses by the skin of their teeth, through hard work, reinvention, asking for help, falling down, getting back up again, and working on their mindset. David Schnurman is one of those entrepreneurs, and there's so much to learn from him and what he's accomplished as the CEO of Lawline, the leading provider of online continuing legal education. He's also an author and a speaker. Coming up, you'll learn how to take action with more confidence, the concept of good thing, bad thing, who knows, a three-step process for fast-forwarding your mindset, and how to make a shift from going outside your comfort zone for yourself to doing it for others.
This is Million Dollar Mind, remarkable stories of transformation and how to shift your mindset to accelerate success, with entrepreneur, author, and mindset expert Julia Pimsler.
Hey, David, thanks for being on the show.
I'm really excited to be here and talk about mindset.
I know. I've been looking forward to this. And here's the thing I was thinking, David. If I were to meet you today at a party, let's say like a entrepreneur's networking event, I'd probably think like, okay, this guy has probably had it really easy. He's like a good-looking white guy. He probably like went out to raise venture capital. Somebody wrote him a check for $10 million. And then he like hired away top people from Google and built this really cool online video platform for lawyers, and has like never had a tough thing happen in his life. Is that about how it went for you?
It's so funny that you say that, Julia, because that is like so not the image I've ever had of myself in a million years. And like, even hearing you say that, I'm like, oh, she said good looking. She said cool thing. I'm like, all right, like maybe it's that self-perception. And I think it's so natural to look at other people and just assume, you know, whether they had it easy or it's easier for them or X, Y, and, you know, any successful person had a lot of funding and just it just went on easy street. So it is the complete opposite of the way I look at myself.
So where does your story diverge from that story?
From day one? look, I mean, in general, you know, in terms of, because of this is mindset, you know, I've always had significant confidence in myself. And I think that's certainly why I have a personality that I have. But at the same token, on the flip side of that, I've always had the same lack of confidence and lack of focus on a daily basis that just constantly, I think, keeps me humble and always grateful for when things happen the right way. And so grateful for the opportunity to speak to people like you and others. So I'm just always happy to be in any situation I can be and appreciating that. So that's how my mindset's always been.
And you know, when I reread the book, getting ready for today, your book, Fast Forward Mindset, one thing that jumped out at me was all the places that you were vulnerable and shared things that, you know, you didn't have to share, but you did share and will make a huge difference for other people. I don't know if you've watched any Brené Brown, but she has this great teaching about how courage and vulnerability are always paired, and that you can't even have courage without vulnerability. And I really thought of you as I read the book and was so impressed.
My sister is highly recommends her, and she's next on my list.
Awesome. Well, I sometimes say, you know, this podcast is Guy Raz meets Brené Brown.
So I love it.
Taking you into the Brené Brown side.
Here's
what I want to know. So you did build this multi-million dollar company called Lawline, which helps lawyers stay cutting edge and learn the things they need to learn. Tell us how it really happened.
So I've always, because I said I had this confidence in myself, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And my entire life, like that's sort of been in the back of my head. and I graduated college. And, you know, I've read all these books and I had all these franchises that I cut out in college that I was going to buy and build my business. And I thought within 5 years.
Oh my God, like what? Wait, I have to know. Like what? What would have been the Dave Snurman franchise if you'd gone down that road?
So there was a couple like, I guess this is back in the days where it was like magazines where you sell advertisements to colleges, different like kind of they were all like online or print based companies. There wasn't like a sandwich shop. It was all things like, you know, if you remember in the Entrepreneur magazine, there was like 100 pages of franchises
in the days. Funny.
So I used to cut those out.
So glad you didn't do one of those. All right. So pick back up.
Me too. I really thought within, 3 or 4 years of graduating college, I was gonna have $1 million business. And 5 years after I graduated, I had literally gone to my fourth sales job and I was just not happy. And I just was starting to doubt the fact that I was ever going to be an entrepreneur. And it became a real moment of like insecurity for me. And so when you dig deep and you really want to be that entrepreneur, what did I do? I actually did what my dad always wanted me to do. I ended up going to law school because I was so afraid of spending the next 30 years going from one sales job to the next. Cause I knew so many people in my industry who I had met who had been doing it for 30 years and it was their 10th job doing sales.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And so for me, I just decided I'd rather be a lawyer, which is a great profession and have an impact on the world. And it was in law school where, you know, I had some really bad experiences that reinvigorated, you know, that passion that I had about wanting to be an entrepreneur. And really where everything changed in my life.
Well, you did tell a story about, trying to work for someone else and how that didn't really fly.
Yeah, it was a couple experiences like that. But one in the book where I was working at a real estate closing firm and it just wasn't for me. It was a very detail-oriented job. It wasn't the type of experience that I wanted, but I learned a lot. But I decided not to stay on for the rest of the year. And when I went to tell the managing partner who I was working under that I wasn't going to stay on, he essentially screamed at me nonstop and threw me out of his office that moment instead of finishing the summer. And I felt so belittled. I literally left there crying. I felt like he was right. I felt like an ass and I felt terrible. And then a couple of days later, I reflected on that. I'm like, you know what? I'm never going to be treated like that again. And it just reinforced the only way to never be treated that way like that is to start your own business. And so in my second year of law school, I started this is like really before podcasting was around. It was like 2006, 2007. YouTube had just started. I started a cable access TV show on Manhattan Neighborhood Network called True NYC. And essentially it was a podcast. My goal was to interview as many entrepreneurs as I could so I can figure out the secret to starting a business within 1 year or less.
You took this thing that was really upsetting and belittling. And as you said in the book, you felt almost like shamed by this man yelling at you, you know, publicly in this office, and instead turned that into motivation to do something, you know, really positive and proactive with your own life. What lesson came out of that for you?
So the first thing that I share in the book, and it's the number one thing that sort of transformed my life. And I didn't actually have the phrase until after a few years later when I was in Entrepreneurs Organization where we met. But it's the phrase, good thing, bad thing, who knows? And it's been around for thousands of years. It's anywhere you look, you can find this phrase or some form of it. And essentially what good thing, bad thing, who knows is it's never to label a situation as good or bad. Because as soon as you label it as bad, you experience it as bad. And in fact, research shows we're more likely to label something bad 20 times more than we label it good. And so one of the things that it just reinforced in my life, and you know, we all know this, but it's good to constantly hear it, is regardless of what happens, even this moment, all the challenges I'm having this week for moving to Barcelona, I constantly, when I'm in the lowest point, which I had a couple this week, because it's just challenging.
You're
to
moving
move,
your whole family in three days,
just,
right?
It's just challenging with the house, with the family, with people being sick. And I literally say to myself, good thing, bad thing, who knows? And it snaps me out of it.
Well, help us understand how it works. I love this. And I think I was actually in the room with you when we first heard it from Dr. Rao. Was this at Gabriel's?
Yep. It was with Dr. Rao. And it's amazing. Totally. You never know which moment you're going to get something that's life-changing, especially in EO.
I love that. And I was so happy to see it come up in your book and that you're helping people learn it. But so walk us through it, though. You're in the office of this boss of yours you look up to. He's yelling at you. You walk out. You feel about a foot tall. How do you in that moment go like good thing, bad thing?
I didn't. So especially at that moment, because I didn't even, you know, look, when I look back at my life and I look back at all the situations where it seemed like I was at rock bottom, and you can see, you know, a couple of years later, hindsight's 20/20. So at those moments, I didn't know that phrase. There is literally a visceral reaction that, because of who I am and believe myself, is like, I'm never going to be treated that way again. So it felt like a bad thing at that moment, you could say. But it wasn't until years later where I actually heard the story. And you can look up, if you Google good thing, bad thing, who knows, I'll give...
We love to
just
give,
Google it. It's better than just hearing me or read the book. It's in the book. It'll allow you to understand sort of the story behind it. But like, that is the number one, it's the first thing in the book. It's the first chapter, because that phrase has allowed me to get out of my comfort zone so much more than I ever have before. And that's what the book is about. It's about how to get out of your comfort zone. But more importantly, once you're out, how do you stay out longer? Because as entrepreneurs, you know, we're used to just taking action and doing things. Like, start this business, do this partnership, whatever. And as soon as you're...
And we want the wins, right? And when it's not a win,
want it quick.
It feels like, a failure.
And as soon as we're there, though, sometimes you're like, oh my God, what did I just do? And so it's both about having confidence, but also, of course, having focus once you start the TV show True NYC to interview entrepreneurs. You know, how long am I doing it? What's the goal for it? And so that's the other part of it. And of course, literally the coolest part is him throwing me out of his office led me to speaking to you today right now. So that's kind of cool.
I love that. And you know what? I have my own version of that. So when I read yours, it took me back, because when I got out of film school, when I was living in France, I went to work for this documentary production company. It was like my dream job. And I was working for these two guys and I was organizing their office and, you know, producing films, doing all this cool stuff. And then after about 6 months, they took me out for lunch and they were like, we think you should have your own company. And I was like, No, I like running your company. This is going great. And they're like, no, we really think you should have your own company. Then they fired me. And that was it. And I've never worked for anyone ever again. But, you know, that day was a dark day, right? But
of course. Oh, my God.
Right? But thank you. And I thought I was doing a great job, too. At least you knew you were going to get it. But David, what I love is how you weave it throughout the book and are able to relate both business and personal experiences to this new framework that you learned. And that is really one of the top mindset teachings. So I'm so glad that you put it front and center in your book. What I loved was, and maybe you can tell us a little more about it, is when you ran the marathon, like those two pictures you put in that just speak volumes.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you applied good thing, bad thing, who knows?
So there's very few pictures in the book, but I decided to put those pictures in to show you sort of where I was going through. And actually, the marathon is a different principle that was really game changing for me. So good thing, bad thing, who knows, is about step one. It's like, if you want to get out of your comfort zone, don't ever label the outcome, because as soon as you're afraid to fail, you're afraid of something go bad, you'll never do something new. Step three is finding your focus.
Let's just pause here and say that David has this awesome framework, this three-step framework.
Correct.
So the book is around that. All right.
And I know it's hard on a podcast to totally grasp
it.
So don't worry about that.
They're going to go buy the book. I know that.
But stories are better than frameworks. And so for me, the marathon was an example of doing something that I never thought I would be able to do. So in 2011, I read The Success Principles by Jack Canfield, and that book changed my life. And it was principle number 54, keep your agreements. And in the book, he talks about a class that he teaches. And in the class, everybody has to sign an agreement that they wouldn't be late. And 3 days later, a couple of people show up late, and he says to them, you broke your agreement. You showed up late. And the guy says to him, well, I can't control traffic. It's not my fault. And Jack says to him, well, if you showed up late, if I told you your son would be killed, what would you say? And the guy's like, wow, if my son would be killed, then I would never leave the classroom. And while it's an extreme example, it resonated with me right away, because it showed me that we have much more control over our commitments than when we believe. And at that time, I was telling my wife I'd clean the dishes and I wouldn't do it. I was canceling meetings 10 minutes beforehand all the time at the company. And most importantly, I wasn't taking care of my health. I had 3-year-old twins. And so I made the hardest commitment I could think of when it came to exercise, and that was to run a marathon. And that's what led me to run my 3 marathons in a row.
But wait, hang on. You were already a big runner?
Nope. No, the furthest I had ever ran was 3 miles in a row.
So and you were like, how do I get way out of my comfort zone? I'm going from not running to running a marathon.
And I wanted to test. I wanted to test the belief. If you treat this commitment as if you don't do it, somebody close to you will die. And I believe it was that ability. Because how many walls do you think have you faced in Little Pym, and with Million Dollar Women, and with this podcast, and everything that you're doing, and just putting on your conferences? If every time you hit a wall, you didn't have that commitment in your head that you said you would do this and you're going to do it, or whatever that commitment was, you would stop. And that is, I'm going to tell you, these two things. Number one is not labeling something, but two, keeping your commitment as if somebody close to you would die if you didn't. Those two things will allow you 100% to fast forward your growth and your impact. I can't tell you how often people break their commitments to me on a daily basis. And I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, why?
Well, and it's even the small ones. That's what I love about how
it's mostly
teach it,
the small ones,
right? Because the small ones lead to the big ones, right? And actually, I've known you over 7 years now, and I'll never forget when I ran into you at a party a few years ago. I don't know if you remember this, and I was like,
I do remember.
You do? I was like, hey, Dave, I haven't seen you in so long, and you haven't gotten back to my emails about having lunch. I guess it's a busy time or whatever. And you're like, really? I did that? I was like, yeah, but whatever. It's not a big deal, because like you were just saying, people don't all under their commitments, right? But we certainly notice the people who do or the people who don't. 100%. And what's so amazing about you is you actually went back and dug through your emails and emailed me the next day and was like, hey, it turns out I do have a couple of unanswered emails from you and let's get that lunch on the calendar.
Yep. And we did.
Yeah, I know. But I have so much respect for that, because you know that it's like the little things that allow you to then build up and do the big things.
100%. And keeping meetings is a really big one, because by the way, when you're making commitments to other people, you're really making to yourself first. But
that's an important point. Wait, break that down for us. What does that mean?
Yeah. So you're always like, if I said I was going to do this podcast with you, and then 10 minutes, half hour before I canceled and said, I'm too busy, I'm so sorry, and it wasn't really a real emergency, mm-hmm. in my head, I would feel like crap. I'd be like, damn, man, I can't believe I just let her down. This is my story again. Like 3 years ago, I didn't respond to an email, now again. And it's like doing that over and over again. You end up feeling bad about yourself. And the worst commitment that we all do it, and we all tell ourselves we're terrible people for doing it, is we wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go work out, I'm going to go for a run, and you don't do it. And then like an hour later, you're like, oh, I'm such a terrible person, I didn't work out. We're all going to eat healthier. Oh, man. And so like, that's cool. Like I don't know if you do it, but I do it, I should say.
Sure,
I know does it. How about that?
Not when I'm writing a book. When I'm writing a book, I'm getting up every day. But yeah, right. The other days I do it.
But there's something probably, we always, part of that though is okay, because one of the things
human,
about—
right? We can't be that consistent.
One of the things is I don't want anyone reading my book or in general in life to feel bad about themselves for anything, because even if you don't go as— keep 100% of your commitments. In my mind, taking action to doing something is better than just not doing anything at all. So it's just how the goal is to gain as much experience as possible as fast as possible. That's it. That's the secret of the book.
And not be worried about the outcome all the time.
Right, because if you're worried about the outcome, you're not going to gain as much. You're not going to move to Barcelona. You're not going to write a second book. You're not going to leave your business. You're not going to either decide to leave EO or join EO. You're not going to—
right, because you can always go down that what if rabbit hole, right? Of
100%.
All the things that could go wrong. And I've shared on this podcast before that we have about 50,000 thoughts a day. And do you know, David, what percentage of them are negative? What would you guess?
Oh, Well, I'm going to guess 90%, but it's probably too high.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's because you wrote a mindset book. You know too much, but no, it's 70%, but that's still really high, right? If you think that 70% of the things you think are, what could go wrong in this situation? Coming up, how to make a shift from going outside your comfort zone for yourself to doing it for others. You know, success in business is really 80% mindset and 20% skill set and network. If you want help with the whole package and you're a woman business owner looking to scale up faster than you already are, then as a listener of this podcast, I have a way I can help. I'm going to give you a complimentary Accelerate session. It's a 45-minute coaching call on me. That means free. Go to scalewithjulia.com. scalewithjulia.com and sign up. And then there's this. If you mention this podcast when you sign up for your Accelerate session, we'll also send you our exclusive ebook, Power Networking for Female Founders, also free. So that's two ways you can start scaling faster right now. Make sure you mention the Million Dollar Mind podcast. Again, go to scalewithjulia.com. So these are great tools that you're sharing. So number one, when something difficult or bad or even downright terrible happens, right, to just pause and say, wait, good thing, bad thing, who knows? This might later on turn out to be an awesome thing, right? It just feels terrible right now.
Even before that, though, Julia, that is a reaction to an event. But before that is, in order to take action, to give you confidence to take action, to do something, the first thing you should say before anything happens is good thing, bad thing, who knows, in order to get you to start that podcast, to leave your job, to start a new business, to move across the world.
So I love that distinction.
It works both ways, but you really need to do it first.
To take action, you need to say it first. I like that a lot because people overthink it, right? And then they don't take any action.
Yeah. But the challenge is, and this is where what happened with me, is my whole life I've been doing action, action, action. And what happened in my business, after about 8 years or 9 years, that only got me so far, because after a while of just taking action without enough focus, you hit a wall. And totally. So that's where the fast forward framework came into play.
And you had the humility to hire coaches and bring people in to help you, the things that weren't your strong suit.
It wasn't humility, it was desperation. I mean, I had three CEO relationships in 6 years that kept imploding, and I couldn't do it any longer. I had to figure out what was going on. And I realized the biggest issue I had in my business was we had a lack of focus from the top down, and started with the way I led, trying to do 10 things at once. And so we restructured our entire business about 5 years ago.
For anybody listening who's wondering if, self-knowledge or mindset work can make a difference, right? You're such a shining example of that, David. If you didn't have this self-knowledge to know, hey, this is what I'm not good at, I need help with this, who knows what would have happened with your business, right? And this is probably why half of all businesses shut down within the first 5 years, is that the leader just doesn't have that humility or that self-knowledge to go get that help. I don't know if you agree with that statement.
Yeah, I would say 100%, like, you have, in order to, here's the deal. If you want to get out of your comfort zone, you're going to need to figure out how to get more knowledge from somewhere, because you're doing new things and you're going to make mistakes. And so what I realized, and the reason I wrote the book, is after 5 years of successful business, this is about, a 5 year period where we essentially, were 5 million or more in revenue, and we kind of stayed that. I was just getting too comfortable, and which was not a bad thing, but in my mind, I was getting kind of frustrated that I believed I was going to have such a bigger impact in the world. And my biggest fear was, in 20, 30 years, I was going to look back, and the person who I believed, the movie that I had in my head about the impact I was going to have, it was going to be, getting too late. And so I wanted to fast forward the impact that I'm going to have on the world today. And so that's why it's called fast forward mindset. It's anybody who know that story in their head, if they want to do that much quicker, I hope the framework can help them.
Oh, I'm sure it will, because rereading the book to get ready for today, I was underlining and turning pages, and there were just
awesome.
So many
makes
great
me so happy
tips
to hear.
In there. And you said something in there I want to read back to you, because I'd love to have you unpack it a little for us. You said, when I shifted my thinking from how do I get out of my comfort zone for my own good to how do I get out of my comfort zone for the larger good, everything changed for me.
Yep.
What does that mean?
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad you found that line. When you hit a wall, right, which we do every day, but when you're hitting walls, if you're focused on, oh, I wanted to make more money, I wanted to be on the cover of Forbes magazine, I wanted to do this, I, you know, it's for, or if you're focused on, you know, you, let's say you have $1 million in revenue, I want 5 million, but you live a good life. It might not be enough, like, because you're comfortable in your life, making a couple, you know, buying a bigger house might not be enough to push you out of your comfort zone because it's too scary. However, if you shift that and say, I wanted to get 1 million people who are uneducated to get, you know, a college degree. Mm. I wanted to save the world from the, you know, from the plastics that are going everywhere. I wanted to improve self, I want to give self-improvement to hundreds of millions of people through my teachings. That focus on the others, that is the inspiration that will push you through it. And so that shift for me was huge. And that's what allowed me about 2 years ago to once again push myself out of my comfort zone, because I want to have a big impact on the world around me, starting with my kids, of course, to everybody
else.
Well,
and I know your team, you know, adores you. They were all at the book launch party, and you could just see the love and the respect and the, you know, relationships you've built there. But I do want to know, was there like a moment, like just dial it back a minute, when you had this thought for the first time?
In terms of the impact
thought? Yeah, like the larger good. What because it's such a profound statement. Where did it come from?
There was. And I don't know if you know the book that well that you're leading me to that, or is this a question? Either way, I'm impressed. Is there was a moment where I was talking to my dad in my house. I just turned 40, and I was really at a low moment where I was telling my dad, like similar to that 70%. Now I don't feel so bad, I guess. I was telling my dad, I feel like a failure more than I feel like a winner, even though I was super successful doing a lot of different things to the outside world.
Right. And, amazing family too. Yeah, your wife is so awesome.
All
you got
that.
Three great kids. Yeah.
And he was like, Dave, you don't realize how good you are. And he was kind of pushing me back. And as we were sitting there reflecting on it, I realized it was just so clear to me, like, light shining in my eyes, or whatever you want to call it, is the reason I felt bad about myself. It was not about what I was accomplishing. It was that I wasn't having the impact that I've always believed that I was going to have. And so for me internally, I get energy from serving others and from seeing how they grow. And I was kind of holding that. I wasn't listening to it as much as I should have. And so as soon as I just kind of opened up my mind and like, oh my God, moving forward from this day on, it's about impact. And so I don't care if I fail. I don't care if this doesn't work, because I know I want to have an impact in these three big areas in my life. And I mentioned at the end of the book that for the next 30 years, that's where we're gonna, if I can focus on these three areas, regardless of how much I accomplish, I'll feel good about it. So yeah,
wow,
it was 2 years ago.
What a powerful North Star you found. That's incredible.
I feel so lucky to have found it. And now my goal is, you know, to be patient. So fast forwarding your mindset does not mean doing it all in, you know, a year.
Six months.
By the way, I love this line. It's very, you know, I'm sure you've heard this line before. We tend to overestimate what we can get done in 1 year and underestimate what we can get done in 10 years. And yes, having a business for 11 years now, I could say that's 1,000,000,000% true. And so now I personally think in terms of decades, not in terms of maybe 5 years, but for my life in terms of decades. So I'm not as anxious.
So like this decade, let's say we fast forward, I'm going to make you fast forward to a decade from now. What will you have done? If you could just kind of sum up real quick, like where are you going now?
Yeah. So I will be, the three areas that I'm focusing on is disrupting education, increasing sustainability, focusing on self-improvement, you know, giving people the tools that they need to grow. And so over the next 10 years, I will have companies or organizations in each one of these areas that provide tools and guidance to make these things more of reality. And for for sustainability. The first one is reducing plastics, and the second is increasing plant-based foods. And this is before Beyond Burger was like the hot thing. Now these are things that are core to who I've been since I've been a child, and so that's where I'm spending a lot of my research. And Lawline is continuing to focus on quality education, not only for lawyers, but we're working a couple other things.
Wow, this is so exciting, and I love your clarity around it.
Yeah, I don't care if I'm right or wrong, but I think having a clear direction, and in 5 years, if it switches a little bit, the clarity of direction, having that North Star is really important to keeping your commitments.
Well, I'm really glad we got a chance to hear from you now, where you've already accomplished so much, and you're just at the beginning of this whole new exciting chapter of serving and serving the larger good. What is something you've read or seen or heard that had a big impact on you that listeners might want to check out too?
There's a book that I read maybe 5 or 6 years ago by Dale Carnegie, and it's called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And there's a very, I'm all about simplicity. There's a simple formula that I learned in that book that they say, if you use this formula, it will reduce your worries 50% overnight. And it did. And Whoa. It's transformed my thinking. I will share the 3-step formula right now, just so you can use it and anyone else. And of course, yes. Obviously it's in the book as well. So the first thing you do is to reduce worry is you think about, what is the thing that you're worried about, right? And then step one is, what is the worst case scenario that can happen from what you're worried about? So if it could be losing your job, losing your business, losing your home, having no money, being on the streets, think about what the worst case scenario is. And there's two things that happens when you do that. Number one, you realize the worst case scenario is not as bad as you thought. Mm-hmm. And number two, you're like, okay, you go to step two, which is you have to accept the worst case scenario. So number one is think about what the worst case scenario is. Number two is accept it. So you accept it. You're already living on the streets. You've lost your business. Everything goes wrong. And then once you accept it, step
And you really
three,
let yourself feel it? Like you kind of imagine what it. That would
you,
feel
you
like?
Accept
okay.
It.
Okay.
You got, live you gotta, because
so just for a minute, right?
you accept it. You accept it. And then step three is you start taking actions right away to improve upon the worst case scenario so it doesn't happen. And because what happens is we generally spend so much of our time worrying about situations that will never actually happen.
So true.
And so using this formula, by the way, 9 out of 10 times when you're worrying about stuff, you actually don't even know what you're worrying about. And by assuming the worst case scenario.
Well, it can become a pattern of thinking, right? It's just a place to go.
I'm nervous. And yeah. So for me, my experience has been whenever I accept the worst case scenario is not that bad. Because these are mostly business things, right? So it's not like, one of my worst case
scenarios. Life or death.
One is I want to be a pilot. So of course, the worst case scenario is dying. So I'm not ready to accept that yet. But I will at some point in my life get to that point. So that was the book to answer your question. And I hope it helps.
Oh, that's a great suggestion. I'm sure a lot of people are going to check out that book. And there are so many incredible tips in your book, The Fast Forward Mindset, plus just a lot of great sharing of what it really means to be an entrepreneur and stay on track and hit big walls and find a way over them. I know you're leaving for Barcelona really soon, but can people still find you thanks to the internet, thanks to various things you have out there? How can people connect with you, David?
Yep. So easiest, obviously, you can email me at david@lawline.com, lawline.com. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. And the book has a website where there's a contact form. So it's fastforwardmindset.com or ffwdmindset.com. And you'll be able to contact me. And I always answer my emails, even if not right away. Well, not always, there's that one time, but I try my best to always. If I see
that
it,
commitment thing.
If I see it and I know I saw it, I will answer it. So I'm happy to help anybody who has any more questions.
Yes, I can attest to that. You will definitely get an answer. So, David, thanks again for all the great work you're doing. And I look forward to talking more about this over the years to come.
See you from Barcelona.
Bye. Have a great time. Take care.
Million Dollar Mind is a production of Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2019, Julia Pimsleur.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.